Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Seth Habacker.
Good morning, everyone.
We hope you're having a fantastic Thursday out there. Happy Friday Eve, everybody. Mm-hmm. Feels good to get to Thursday, Friday Eve here. We got some fun stuff we're going to get into this hour. We're going to tell you, hey, you don't have to get rid of that 2002 calendar, that 2022 Ooh. Calendar. Ain't got to get rid of it. We'll tell you what you can do with it in just a little bit.
I'm intrigued.
We're going to let you know the best time to get rid of your Christmas decorations. It was yesterday.
July?
Basically. A new trend that I have to dissect. I have to get into this with you.
Oh, okay.
Got that coming up a little bit later. We'll also get into our National Day of Calendar this hour in the 8 o'clock hour. Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club. Looking forward to that. Also going to preview and tell you a little bit about a new feature we will be having on Thursdays. Mm-hmm. We'll do that in the 9 o'clock hour. Along with that, I write stories, good stories of the day, and what other trouble Seth and I can get into.
Trouble.
It's going to be
fun. But trouble.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Mm. I'm still getting used to James Sands' facial hair. It's I've not seen it very often, and it's a little disconcerting,
It's very disconcerting. It's very, very disconcerting. I was trying to explain this to this student of mine, and she's very smart, and she's really like ahead of the game when it comes to comedy. She gets stuff. She sees the big picture. She's looking and looking and looking at me. And I'm like, I know. And she goes, well, no, it doesn't look bad. You look so much younger. I keep getting told that. And that's great. That's
yes,
wonderful.
Sure.
I don't care. I miss my beard.
Yeah.
Let the audience know, since this is obviously an audio medium.
Right.
I got a part. I got a new role. Mm-hmm. I am playing Valentino Viceroy. Valentino Viceroy. That is I am a washed up actor who it will not come out of my dressing room.
That's
I will
awesome.
Not, I refuse. I will not come out. It ends up that this character, they wanted to look a little younger, and so I shave, did the haircut, all that stuff for it. It's a student film from a wonderful young director who I have no doubt we are all going to know her name eventually.
Yeah.
When she gets her break and everything. She's very talented. Mm-hmm. It's just a short film for Columbia University down in Chicago and everything. It's it's a fun project. I've worked with them before on a Tesla project a couple of years ago. It's nice. I have to say, I'll get the beard thing out of the way. It feels weird. I don't remember the last time I didn't have facial hair.
Yeah.
I don't like shaving. Mm-hmm. Taking a razor to your face is wrong.
Isn't that weird?
It feels weird. Feels like it's 2023, man. There's got to be a better way to do this.
Let me take this very sharp thing and scrape it across my skin, right? Yeah.
I have barely little to no padding. I am a scarecrow walking around in the winter. So the beard is at least
it's helpful, little bit of
protection. That's gone. That's gone. So now I'm completely
into your face is really cold for some reason.
To the elements. I belong to the elements now. There's all that. But we got working yesterday. We had the read-through Monday, script-through Monday. And then yesterday we filmed. It's only about 57, 58 minutes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it took us about a half an hour. We got about a half an hour of filming done. Mm-hmm. And it took us about 2 hours to do. That's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
All things considered. Now, it's a small cast. Mm-hmm. We're doing it on Zoom and Skype, so that does help a little bit.
Yep.
And this director is very kind of like, I like her, but I'm a little worried that she likes everything. and I don't think I've ever worked with a director like that before. It's been fun. It's really nice. I forgot what it's like to just act. My only job in this is acting.
That's just acting.
Like just being an actor.
You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to mess with the board. You don't have to. Yeah.
No. It is so much fun. It is so much fun to just be there and just be talent.
Nice, nice.
It used to bug me a little bit. I used to kind of be frustrated by that and everything and feel like you were just a kind of a tool. you know?
Oh, yeah. I'm just going to place you here,
yeah,
and then you go, and then you do your thing, right?
I'll only pick you up when I need you.
Yeah, right.
But when I don't need you, you're just going back in the box. I don't mind being a toolbox right now. I don't mind it.
It's nice. It's change of pace.
It's kind of a nice break.
Yeah,
it is. Kind of nice to just be able to work and just act and everything. It is not worth losing my beard. Can your beard be one of your best friends? This is my question to the audience this morning. More 2 a.m. thoughts here.
There you go.
You can't help. Like, when you first get your beard in, your hands are all over it.
Yeah, it's true.
Without it, your hands are all over, missing it and
yes.
everything.
Touching it is like, why is this? There's something missing here. What's wrong?
I don't like it. I'll tell you that much. My facial hair does tend to grow pretty quick, so mm-hmm. give it a couple days and it'll probably be back.
It'll be back,
But that actually works out because the way this script is, and I'm sharing a little bit of it because the director told me, I talked to her and said, hey, do you mind if I explain some of this on the air?
Yeah.
And, you know, promote what you're doing a little bit mm-hmm. and the university and stuff. So just getting that out there.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody will ever see this.
Right.
Just being honest, she would tell you the same thing. It's mm-hmm. a student film. She'll send it off to Cannes and to a couple of film festivals. And, hey, if we get lucky, it, you know,
maybe someone will look at it, pick it up. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And, you know, maybe it gets looked at as short film, you know, something
yeah.
or whatever. But more than likely, this project
yeah.
is more for her to graduate and to, mm-hmm. You know, show her to her team, our teachers, what she can do.
Yep. That's right.
It's a lot of fun to be a part of, especially with
yeah.
that. I just don't know if it's worth losing the beard. And again, I ask, can your beard or your facial hair be one of your best friends?
It'll come back to you.
It better soon too. I brought this up already a little bit earlier. A lot of people will spend good money on a new calendar.
Right.
My mom gets them for like a bunch of them from like National Geographic and all
yes.
this. She
mm-hmm.
sends money to them, so she gets free calendars.
Yep.
She's always got like 20 of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, gives my brother, sister, and I
yep.
one or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I, in recent years, have just been kind of like spending an extra couple bucks and getting a calendar.
Mm-hmm.
I have a trees one that's really cool. Great trees around
cool.
the world and
mm-hmm.
everything. It's interesting. It cost me about $8 or $9. I would not normally spend that. I had a thing from Amazon where I had to return something or whatever, so they gave me money, a discount, so I only paid
yep.
like $2 for the calendar.
Right.
But I felt still a little ridiculous about it and everything.
Oh, my gosh.
And now I know why. Here's a totally impractical way to save $15.
All right.
Haven't tossed your 2022 calendar away yet? You can still use it. All you got to do is wait a decade. That's it. Obviously, the day of the week changed year to year. Like
right.
January 5th, it was a Wednesday in 2022, and it's on a Thursday this year.
Mm-hmm.
But the same dates do eventually come back around and line up.
That's true.
So you'll be able to use your 2022 calendar again if you just hang on to it until 2033. That's it. That's all you got to do.
If you can hang on to it that long, I'm impressed. Okay, here's what I have done in the past. I don't think I may not be proud of this, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Yes.
I've looked at I've taken an old calendar
mm-hmm.
and I've looked for the month that has the dates and the dates and days that line up, and just use that because at least that part's right. Now the month is wrong,
sure.
and the picture is like sunny. You know, like winter. It's like
yeah,
a summer
yeah.
scene or something like that. But at least they're right, and I'm not going to get things wrong because the dates, they line up, so I'm good to go.
That's
I
awesome.
Have done that before.
I admire that, actually. I admire the creativity in
oh,
that.
Oh, man. And then there's my sister who, while we were visiting, she actually got a shipment of like 6 calendars that she purchased.
Oh,
and I'm
wow.
like, why do you have so many calendars? Well, I need one for every room.
Oh, geez.
What? You need a calendar in every room? Oh, okay. And this is my sister, so some of them are just nice, you know,
yeah.
like nature scenes.
Yeah.
And then there's one, dragon witches. Dragon witches?
What is
a dragon witch? I don't know that.
I have to look that up. I'm pretty sure I dated the dragon witch. I'm pretty... that's awesome.
But it's like, why do you need one in every room? Because I do. I just need one in every room. Okay. All right.
I've heard, you know, especially if I take a look, you know, a real close look at my own life, I'm sure I've got some stuff.
Yeah.
That, so I shouldn't pick on her too much or anything. I do. I actually kind of... I like the idea of, well, you do my, you know, if you have two floors, you got a calendar upstairs, a calendar down.
That makes sense.
You're in an office setting, you know, Steph's got a calendar, we have a calendar, you know, all that kind of thing. But that, you know, it, she don't live alone, does she?
No, okay, no, good, she's got a whole family. Like,
for some reason, it felt a little worse to me if she lived alone. I don't know why, but for the
and her poor kids are just rolling their eyes. Yes, like, oh, God, their mom.
calendars. Calendars tend to line up every 6 years or 11 years. The exception is, of course, leap years when it takes 28.
Right.
So calendars for 2024, a leap year, won't be usable again until 2052.
Just keep that in mind.
The one catch is some of the holidays won't line up. That's the one catch. But all the days of the week will be right. So
exactly.
If that's all you care about,
your there you go.
2022 calendars will be kind of usable again in 2033, 2039, 2050, and 2061. If you've already been hoarding calendars for some reason, here are a few more that work in 2023. This year, you can reuse calendars from 2017, 2006, 1995. Or if you've got one from 1933, that will work as well.
Oh, ooh, hey, if you got a 1933 calendar, man, I'll take that one. That's probably pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
Yeah.
We will meet back here in 2033, and we'll see how this works out.
We'll see how this works out. You have one box in your basement labeled old calendars, and you keep forgetting why you do it. Why do I have this box of old calendars?
Which
I don't remember. Why do we have these?
That is so something I would or my dad would do. Why do I got all these calendars?
I don't remember. Why is
hey,
this?
Bam! Why am I hanging on to these calendars? I don't know what's more like weird or funny or whatever here. The fact that this is a thing that somebody you know figured out or whatever, or that there is a whole website dedicated to it.
Really?
If you're curious about this, you can go to whencaniusethiscalendar.com. All one word.
Oh, my gosh. They couldn't even have a smaller website name. Oh, my God. The address is huge.
You're gonna get worn out before you get even to the when can I read.
Just typing. Oh,
you know
man.
What? I don't care anymore. Just buy a new calendar. I'll spend the $5 just get a new calendar.
Give some money to the Sierra Club. They'll send me one.
There
you know,
there yes. When can I use this calendar.com if you are curious out there? We will take a break. We'll get back to our day. Come back with our National Day of Calendar here on the Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back to the Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. Time to get into our National Day of Calendar for this January 5th. 2023.
All right.
It is National Repeal Day.
Well, just guessing because I don't see it there. I believe it's the repeal of Prohibition is the anniversary of the repeal of Prohibition. So,
and the 5th of December, it's time to raise a glass to all things cocktails, beer, spirits, and celebrate your right to have a cheeky little or large tipple now and then. We just moved to Britain, apparently.
Yes,
we between the 5th January 5th 1919 and December 5th 1933.
Yeah.
I have studied this era of America maybe more than any other time period, and that always boggles my mind every time I read
how long it lasted. Yeah.
America was dry.
America was dry for that. Yeah.
Sort of.
Let's put this in perspective. Yes.
Wink wink nudge nudge.
Yeah.
And you know, it's interesting. They make a joke here about it. We don't mean it didn't get much rainfall, although that I believe that was the dust period, right?
That was around that time. The very beginning of the 30s with the Dust Bowl.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's really a great joke to make. That was a rough period.
It doesn't matter. It's a long time ago.
Prohibition, that era, that time, is such a fascinating thing to think about on all levels, from government to the American person, to what how we reacted to it, what our intentions, because I don't think anybody can have an issue with the intention of it. Well, at least in theory.
In theory, the idea, right, yeah.
The idea that, hey, we're trying to protect people from this thing that literally has poison in it. Like it takes away brain cells.
Yep.
There is no health benefit to alcohol.
Nope.
I am a fan of alcohol. I'm not talking badly about it necessarily, but you can you from this perspective, you see what this is coming from.
Yep.
But it's also a perfect example of how young America was. You tell a teenager not to do something. What are they going to do? They told America, the teenager, you're not drinking anymore. And America found a way, baby.
Yeah.
America found a way.
They found a way.
And it really kind of is the beginnings of us always finding a way.
Yes.
We find it. Now, it's obviously, I don't mean that we always find a way around illegal things.
Yeah.
But how many times have we proven that we will find a way to figure this out? We will get through this. We will survive this. And we'll make it through this and all that. And another interesting way, too, there was so much unification under this. The people who didn't want, who were in favor of prohibition, were a much smaller number than the people who didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So this created some unification in some ways, while also creating some division.
Of course.
Not that long after the Civil War.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's a fascinating period of time, and it is. Imagine trying to pull anything like this off right now. Well, they are. They actually are. They're trying to do this with tobacco.
Yep.
They've already gotten rid of menthol cigarettes. Did you ever in your life think that you can go into a gas station and they wouldn't have menthol cigarettes?
Wow.
I didn't.
No.
I never thought that was going to happen.
Yep.
So, I mean, they're taxing down on those, tobacco industry. You notice that even the biggest tobacco industries are switching their fields, everything, to vaping. And, of course, now they're cutting down on vaping, too, the government and everything. But it's so the vaping situation, I think, is probably the one of the better examples of this. But we do it with every hardcore drug that comes out, and if there isn't already a law against it, making one.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we've also been. You know, how long have we had certain other kinds of drugs that have been illegal? That hasn't necessarily stopped people from using it either.
Right.
So I mean, I'll take all that into consideration. So
it's an interesting thing, though.
It is.
Sacher Tort Day?
Sacher Tort Day? I don't know if that's right or not, but...
That sounds more right. Sacher Tort Day is a day for the wonderful dessert, Sacher Tort.
I don't even know if I've had... I mean, I've had a tort before, but I don't know if I've had that specific one before. Mm-hmm. Looks very tasty, though.
It does look really, really, really good. I want to try it, that's for sure. International Ninja Day. Yeah. Espionage, infiltration, guerrilla warfare, sabotage. These are some of the skills that are inherited in being a ninja. If you heard that noise right there, that was a ninja coming in and out of the room.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, ninjas obviously a very popular...
What would you call it?
You know, you would call it back when there actually was genuine ninjas, you would call it a job. You would call it a field.
Yeah.
It was a career.
Yeah.
Because, the espionage, assassination, infiltration, guerrilla warfare, that was all very real.
They were not nice. Let's put it that way.
Many ninjas were Ronins. Mm-hmm. Many ninjas were, they had lost their master, so were roaming to...
Were former samurai. Yes exactly. Yes, yeah. Because, and they were very different from samurai because samurai had a code of honor that they had to follow. Ninjas did not. Ninjas could do, would do whatever they wanted to fulfill whatever they
goal.
Were, yeah, to cost their gold, whatever they were paid for. And they were considered, they were not held in high esteem because they were considered, thieves. They were considered criminals, basically. So.
Yes, yeah. Now, very, very different than that, but taking kind of some knowledge like we do with war. We learned from all former generals. I mean, every great general there's ever been in any country in any part of the world has learned from Sun Tzu. In the art of war.
Yep.
And one of the things you learn from that and you get in that book, which is a great book, even whether you care about war or not, it's just an interesting... You can actually use a lot of that for life, just in general. But one of the things that they figure out, SEAL Team 6 were ninjas in many ways. Mm-hmm. They in and out, nobody knows until their job is done. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you're, what the heck just happened?
Yeah.
What just happened?
Kind of modern day type ninjas. Yeah, right.
The modernization of this warfare, type of warfare.
Mm-hmm.
As Green Day, a lot in pop culture.
And for some reason they hate pirates. The other thing. I don't know why.
I want a ninja pirates movie now.
How come we don't haven't had one yet? I don't understand that.
And you don't even got to work on this one. Just ninjas versus pirates.
Yeah.
Boom. There you go.
There you go.
I think that would be good.
Hacking away at each other.
Big shout out to Beth Habhager. Beth does a great job on the show. We appreciate that she listens in from whenever she can and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't tend to look at my phone when I'm on the air.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while, I will glance down and see something. And it always seems to be when Beth texts us. And Beth is right. I have the January calendar up. None of this counts.
Wait.
January 5th is what we are looking for.
Oh, no.
I don't know what
happened. You were on December 5th. I think you got pushed forward or something.
Well, yesterday, I usually set this up the day beforehand,
mm-hmm.
and I had this set up. I don't know how it could have gotten changed.
No.
And I don't know how I didn't catch it right away, to be honest with you, either. I got like three things in there.
I didn't notice either, dude, so it's all good.
Starting over.
Rewind. Mm-hmm.
That now good. We great. You passed the test, everybody. Nice job. Nice job. Way to go.
Someone noticed. Thank you for playing along.
Nice job, Beth. Yep. It's National Whipped Cream Day.
Ooh,
that's a good one.
Don't want to miss National Whipped Cream Day either.
That is a good one. Yeah. Yes, that is a good one.
Mm.
I'm not a huge fan of whipped cream, but it's in its right place.
It's one of those things that people like on. There's usually one thing that you really like whipped cream on top of.
See, I remember seeing this yesterday because I thought of this question I wanted to ask.
Oh, okay.
As the head of the pie council, I prefer, like, if I'm having my pumpkin pie, my mom likes to just put a ton of whipped cream and all that on it, and I don't like that. I want to taste the pumpkin pie.
Sure.
I feel like the whipped cream takes away from that.
Sure.
It doesn't enhance the flavor for me. Where do you stand on this controversial statement?
You know, you can have as much or as little as you want. I think you hit the nail on the head there. The pie is the most important thing. What enhances the pie?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to cover up the pie, but you want to enhance it. Whipped cream for some pies, ice cream for some pies, you know, goes really well. Those are our friends. We like their whipped cream and our ice cream.
Yes.
We like putting those with pie. But it's all up to you. That's what it's all about. What you want on your pie. That's the important thing.
Hear that, Mom? That's from the head of the pie council, Mom. Get off my back.
As long as it's not cake, you're fine. You're good.
National Bird Day. It's for the birds.
It's all for the birds, man.
Don your binoculars to spy these feathered friends in the wild. Contribute to conservation efforts to raise awareness of birds in captivity. Speaking of my mom, this is a big thing for her. She loves doing this.
Very cool.
She's a bird watcher, and when her hip is better, she wants to get out and about and go bird watching like in other parts of the city and, you know, in Rome and all that. We, of course, are a bird-sanctioned city.
It's true.
Very proud of that.
We got lots of who doesn't like, I mean, not going out and actually, you know, hunting for birds to watch them, but who doesn't like to see a bird, you know, fly into their yard, a pretty, you know, cardinal or something like that? Who doesn't like to look at pretty birds like that?
Does that ever get old?
It doesn't.
Another cardinal. No. I saw a blue jay over the Christmas break. Mm-hmm. And I forget almost every year that they are around this time of year.
They stay around. They don't go anywhere. Yeah.
And it was fat. It was healthy. It looked beautiful. It was awesome. And it was there was a couple like chickadees or whatever that was nearer too and everything. But I haven't seen a blue jay in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it was I don't even think I saw one this summer. And it was just cool.
It's cool to see. Yep.
It was great. Birds are great. And it is a great to be able to keep up on these efforts too.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't just for fun. Bird watchers will tell you they're able to give these numbers. Say, I saw this many blue jays.
Mm-hmm.
Give those numbers to people and kind of keep an eye on this stuff and make
for
sure
populations and stuff. Yep.
Yeah.
It's good to know. Good information.
It's an interesting thing to do, and it's something I wouldn't. It's one of those hobbies. If I had the time, I could see picking that up easily.
Yes.
And I have to admit, as a big-time fan, a long-time fan of the Honeymooners, I think of Ed Norton, a yellow-belly sapsucker. Norton always looking for that yellow-belly sapsucker. And I thought forever that was made up.
Oh, really?
I thought that was a joke.
Oh, man.
Had to have been one of the last episodes I watched with my papa or whatever. Mm-hmm. We're sitting there, and that scene came up, and I started laughing at it and everything, because it's just, it will always make me laugh. Yellow belly sapsucker will always make me laugh.
It is a funny phrase, I have to say.
It really is.
It is.
My papa's laughing with me and stuff and everything. He's like, yeah, they are pretty cool or something like that.
Yep.
He didn't say they were pretty cool, but
yep.
he said something.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, they're real? I didn't even know.
Yes. When I was growing up, my dad had an ongoing war with some sapsuckers who were killing a small mountain ash tree because they kept eating from it.
Dang.
And so he was in an ongoing war with a whole bunch of them.
Not great. That ain't easy.
No.
It is National Screenwriters Day.
Ooh.
Whether it's a story idea that came from a previously published book, the retelling of actual events, or an original fiction story, the screenwriter builds a bridge that allows the story to be put on the screen in a way that brings it to life.
Mm-hmm.
Take some time to appreciate those who are behind the stories that appear on the silver screen on National Screenwriter Day.
Yeah.
There are just tons and tons and tons of great screenwriters in history. Many of them great directors, too, you mm-hmm. know, and that kind of thing. I'm currently working on... I'm in the Screen Actors Guild.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on getting into the Writers Guild.
Yes.
That's actually proving to be a little bit more difficult than I realized, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's worth it.
Yes.
But I actually think, because my oldest, my daughter Bria, is a writer and a published author and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You can find her books on Barnes & Noble and Amazon. Be sure to do that, B.A. McRae. My son, J.C., who just graduated from Minnesota in neurology, is a, when we're first talking about this and he tells me what he wants to do, he tells me that stuff and everything. He's like, well, I really want to be, and I consider myself a writer. Well, actually, a storyteller. And I that will always stay with me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that's the perfect way to put it, because I think that is almost all of us, whether you are write copy for commercials mm-hmm. or you write big Hollywood screenplays, that is kind of your intention, is mm-hmm. to tell a story.
Yeah.
It's honestly the oldest form of creativity we have outside of maybe drawing on a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And even was storytelling.
Yes, it was. That's basically what it is. If you look at any kind of art, you can see there's a story involved there. Maybe a very abstract story that's a little tougher to decipher, but it's there. And you're so right. Think about it. You know, when language was first invented, I bet you one of the first things they started doing was telling each other stories.
Yep. Yeah. We may have even learned to speak just so we could do. You don't. You will not believe what just happened.
Yeah. Yep. That was just woolly mammoth. No.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Billy Wilder, Charlie Kaufman, William Goldman, Aaron Sorkin, Quentin Tarantino, Nora Ephron, Paul Schrader, Ernest Lehman, Paul Thomas Anderson, Francis Ford Coppola, Oliver Stone, Ethan Coen, Spike Lee, James L. Brooks,
mm-hmm.
Alan Ball, Ingmar Bergman, Stanley Kubrick, Cameron Crowe.
Mm-hmm.
Just to name a handful of the greats.
Yeah, and a lot of those were directors, too, that directed their own writing, of course. So, yeah.
I don't think... I wanted to pull up, like, I literally Googled this just to see, like... If I even know the great screenwriters that aren't directors.
Yes.
That's an interesting one.
That one's a little tougher, and that's one you don't hear quite as much about. You're right.
The Tom Stoppards.
The guys that you don't... You know, the few
Stopper direct?
I think he has.
Sure. Okay. Maybe he's not
like
a great
one
example.
Or two. He's mostly a theater dude. But he has done some films and stuff. But
you,
Herman Mankiewicz, that's the name that I always kind of... pops into my the guy who wrote not only Citizen Kane, he was the co-writer with Orson Welles on that, but he wrote a lot of other great scripts as well. So
another great name there too, Orson Welles.
Yeah, Orson Welles. Yes.
I bring that up that you may not know their names because you darn sure know a good script when you hear one.
Oh yeah.
And when you're watching a movie and like, wow, that was a really I didn't see that twist. Yep. I didn't see this going or whatever. That's I think. One of the reasons why I love screenwriting.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of that.
Yes.
I don't begrudge fame, but mm-hmm. I don't like the idea of me ever being bigger than the art I'm creating. I don't know
I
if that makes
mean.
Sense.
Yeah,
in
no,
my head,
does. Yeah.
That is always the balance that I've always wanted for my career,
mm-hmm.
personally.
Yeah, right.
I would rather my work be big and nobody gives a dang about what I'm doing.
Yeah, right.
That's, to me, the purpose of art, or being an artist, is so much. It's not about you. It's about the art.
It's enjoying the what was created without you don't have to know. I mean, you can enjoy a painting by, you know, some unknown artist. And it doesn't matter who the artist was. If you like the painting, it's there you go.
It's a great one.
Yeah.
That's a great example. And finally, it's National Keto Day.
Losing weight and living a healthier lifestyle is a common desire in this modern age. To do this, some people choose to live with strict diets so that they can lose large amounts of weight. The keto diet is one of those one of these eating regimens that has gained results and increased in popularity over the past several years. The keto day was created to celebrate everything to do with the ketogenic style of eating. Accidentally stumbled upon in the late 1800s, the first known predecessor of the keto diet was discovered by a man from London, England. When William Banting found that he was becoming obese, he took things into his own hands and began limiting what he ate. Somebody did that back in the 1800s. Banting reduced his diet to small amounts of meat, some vegetables, and the occasional cup of tea, while cutting out bread, sugar, beer, and potatoes. What he didn't expect is that he would lose more than 50 pounds on this eating regimen. He was so excited about the results that he felt he needed to share them with the world, and he published a free booklet called Letter on Corpulence, Addressed to the Public. Working title.
No, corpulence. That's a word that we don't use anymore. I like that word.
Kind of feels like a bad title.
Yeah, right? Doesn't it?
Kind of feels like I don't know.
Corpulence.
Though this diet wasn't perfectly keto, it was a good beginning. Even so, this style of eating was mostly brushed aside by those in the medical community until it was revived in the 1920s. But got a lot of popularity in the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
And I think whenever that happens, people tend to think, oh, they just came up with this.
Yeah, that it's like a new thing that they came up with. Hey, sorry, everybody. There's nothing new under the sun.
Nothing new under the sun.
It's been recycled from something. I just want to make one comment about that. The guy who originally came up with that, the similar diet, that whatever it was. I love the fact that he gave it away for free.
Yeah.
That would never happen today.
Nope. No way. No way. That is definitely not happening today.
No. Oh, I came up with this thing. I better sell it. How can I make money off of this?
Yep. Take a break. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun here on The Morning Show. It's WFHR, locally grown radio. Oh, yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Getting out. Oh, wait a minute. What is the...
Coming out.
One of his more underground hits, almost.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
not as
a little bit later,
well,
yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. Mr. Sir Paul McCartney joining us this morning. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a good one out there. Happy Friday Eve. Seth and James here. In the 9 o'clock hour, when we get into our entertainment, we will also get into a brief version of our day in rock history.
Nice.
Got that coming up in the 9 o'clock hour.
Looking forward to it.
Right now, when's the best day to put away your Christmas decorations? If you still have your holiday decorations up, is it intentional, or have you just been too busy or lazy to put them away? Regardless of the reason, or how about this factor, the cold?
Yeah, let's put that out there.
Maybe you just like yourself, and you don't want to put yourself through that when you don't have to.
If you want to go outside to take down, if you have outside decorations especially, yeah. I would wait till it's nicer out.
Regardless of the reason, there is a single perfect day to take your decorations down, and it's today.
Today,
or maybe tomorrow.
Yeah. well, that's not perfect.
According to Christian tradition, you should be taking down Christmas trees and decorations on the 12th night to avoid bad luck. Not the 12th night of the year, the 12th night with Christmas,
yep.
Which is today.
That's the 12th day of Christmas today. That's right. Yep.
Celebrates the arrival of the three wise men when they followed the star of Bethlehem to bring gifts to baby Jesus.
That's right.
The only problem is that some churches start counting on different days. The Church of England counts from Christmas Day, which means the 12th night falls on January 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Other denominations, like the Catholic Church, start counting from Boxing Day, which means they say the 12th night is tomorrow.
Yes, because the 26th would be would be their first day then. Yep.
In any effort, you know, unless you're in central Wisconsin or Wisconsin in general, I'm thinking we all got blanketed here. Today is supposed to be a good day for this.
Yes.
I would not recommend it to anybody here in Wisconsin Rapids today.
Looking outside right now? No.
Not the good day to be out there
doing
this.
Not a good day to do that.
Because I think that when we don't talk, because we have fun, we make jokes, and we mm-hmm. laugh about this stuff and everything. What we don't talk about is, you know, the... You want to do this safely.
Mm-hmm.
What a horrible, silly way to hurt yourself taking down Christmas decorations, something that you did to cheer people up.
Exactly.
You know, cheer your family up, all this. It would be silly to hurt yourself doing that.
Yeah.
I don't care what the neighbors say. Leave them up until you are comfortable taking those down safety-wise.
Yes.
We've got a lot of seniors out there in our listenership. We've got a lot of people out there that can't necessarily move the way they used to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of them, actually. at least right now I am. Be safe about that. That's
yes.
what matters most,
yeah.
If you're safe about it and everything. I know that there are ordinances about cleaning sidewalks mm-hmm. and driveways in these things, and I agree with them and I understand them. I also think there needs to be a lot more understanding, a lot more mm-hmm. understanding of the gray area in that.
Yeah, I agree.
Of a single mom who does not have the energy, the time, the strength,
whatever.
Or what have you,
yeah.
to be able to do that when she's got 3-4 kids that mm-hmm. she's trying to get off to school.
Yep.
The senior out there who is using a walker and lives alone or does not have...
Physically can't do it. Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that the city doesn't do this. I'm just saying that I think that is definitely something that we as citizens also need to take into consideration.
We should.
That's where you step up and you help out.
That's right. You can do that. And traditionally for, you know, like they were saying, for you wait till the last day of Christmas or Epiphany, which is tomorrow, which is the celebration of the wise men arriving, mm. which, by the way, if you have a nativity... You know, a more elaborate one than just, you know, not just the stable, you know, with Mary and mm-hmm. Joseph and Jesus and all mm-hmm. that, with, you know, like this, the shepherds and stuff. The wise men should not appear until tomorrow.
Mm.
Because if you read the actual story of the wise men in the Bible, it says they actually didn't get there. It's been, you know, kind of estimated. It doesn't say specifically. Jesus was a young boy, was a boy by then. Mm. So they speculate he was probably about 2 years old when the wise men got there.
Hmm.
So, the wise men should not be there. This is just a stickler. But the wise men should not be there until later because it takes them a while to get there. They had to come from the east.
I mean,
where this vague east, wherever they came from.
I love that end of it, too. what east? Where?
Yeah, just over there somewhere is where they came from, you know. They looked exotic. And so.
I find it interesting. And I do think that, you know, again, sticking with the season and everything, mm-hmm. if you are doing it for those intentions, that you know, with the 12 nights and everything, hit or miss. You know, I mean, a day or two off. Is it really that huge of a deal?
I think people should bring back the 12 night parties they used to have. Because tonight would have been a big party night.
Yeah.
In fact, Shakespeare wrote a whole play about it.
Yeah.
The 12th night.
Yeah.
That's how big it was. So, yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do not. We need more excuses to have parties.
Yes, we do.
We definitely do. Take a break right here. We'll come back, have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Appreciate the update. We're going to get a live update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center in about 15 minutes or so. They'll join us about 8:04. Looking forward to talking with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be great. And maybe I'll ask them about this because I am not very often taken back by a subject.
Okay.
This one took me back.
All right.
There's no cure for the common cold. There's no cure for the coronavirus. But there might be a cure for the flu. Mm-hmm. And it involves pressing a potato against your foot. This is not science. This is TikTok. Welcome to 2023, everybody.
Oh, really? Oh, man.
A video is going viral online where a woman shares a flu, quote, remedy. And I mean big quotes around remedy.
Big quotes.
Big quotes. You take a potato, cut it in half, and then slice off two pieces. You press the potato slices against the bottom of your feet. Put your socks over them to keep them in place and remove them in the morning. There will be an indication on your feet, which she says is normal.
and the potato slices will be disgustingly dark color because the toxins are removed. She insists you'll feel much better. Will you feel a little less ridiculous?
Oh, man.
I grew up poor, and I grew up having to do the whole bad shoes thing and wearing a pair of shoes that were too small for you, or having to put bags around your feet and everything. I will take that over this any day. I'm not a potato guy, obviously. I've that's been very clear. So maybe I'm the last person to ask about this. And I am all for life hacks and for home remedies or any of these things. Any natural way to help the body, I am all for.
Sure.
But, I mean, come on, man.
Well, there are limits. I mean, I don't get...
What did that potato do to you? Why would you do that to a potato?
What I don't get is why the flu virus is hanging around in your feet. Wouldn't it make more sense if it were like, you know, you put it on your chest? I mean, even if you're going to use the same one, like put it on your chest overnight. Because that's where the, you know, where you're, you know, you're hacking, you're coughing, you know, it's in your lungs kind of thing.
Yeah.
That would actually make more. Your feet?
Get some
really?
Vicks.
Come on.
Get some Vicks and just rub some Vicks on you or something. I don't know. I mean.
And I love how detailed some of these remedies get. Okay, you have to cut it in half and then cut off. A slice.
Oh,
you got to make sure that it's a slice. You can't just put the whole half of a potato there. That would be crazy.
I know, really.
You got to get a slice on there so you could put your sock. I don't know.
Be all willy nilly about this. The slice has got to be 33 centimeters exactly.
Yeah, exactly. It's got to be. Exactly.
None of this is going to work. I firmly believe that they go over detailed on that stuff so they seem smarter.
I think, you're right.
It seems
you're
like this is actually an actual thing.
And then when you look at it closely, it's like, no, wait a minute.
Hold up.
Hold up here.
Now, I have to admit, because I am also the person, while I am not a potato fan, I am also the person who I see stuff like this or I hear stuff like this and I push against it and I find it hilarious and then I want to see somebody do it. Like, and I don't know anybody that'll do this, but I would try this just to get it out of the way, just to show people, hey, it literally does work or it literally doesn't work. But I am not doing that because I love my shoes. What I just began this thing with about the poor shoe thing and stuff, I'm not that kid anymore.
No.
I actually buy myself new shoes now, and I like my shoes. I'm not doing this to my shoes. What about that part of the factor?
Yeah.
I hear nothing in this about, you're destroying your shoes.
Or your socks or whatever that you're
what about
pressed
the poor
against
socks?
The potato. Man.
It was sock day like yesterday or whatever.
Yeah, right.
This is not, no sock wants this.
No. Man, I have hard enough time finding socks big enough for my feet. I don't want to ruin them by putting potatoes in them.
I hear you there.
Jeez.
What is the shelf life for a pair of socks for you?
For like a normal pair, I get a couple of months out of them.
Yeah, same.
And then the holes start appearing.
Yep.
So,
Never fails. Never fails. It's that big toe. It's my big toe. My big toe is like three times the size of a normal big toe, man. And it destroys socks.
It's always the heel for me. It's always on the heel, but yeah.
I've bought a pack of socks before and heard it laugh. Like, that's going to do anything. I don't know what you do with this information, people. We are still an information station, so I felt like we had to cover this story. But at the same time, I don't know what you do with the information.
Well, I can actually describe a scenario where this is actually not a good thing, where it's more than just a ha ha ha, isn't that funny kind of thing.
Mm.
So say you do this, you go to bed, and placebo effect, whatever. You feel better in the morning, but you still have the flu. You go into work. And you give it to everybody.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Stay if you got the flu, stay home. Don't worry about
that. That was a big issue when we were kids.
Yeah.
When home remedies first, like, I don't want to, first, but they became kind of a bigger thing.
Yep.
I'd kind of forgotten about some of that stuff.
You still have the virus. You still can give it to people.
Do people still do chickenpox parties?
The measles parties or whatever? I hope not.
Yeah, I really hope they don't do that anymore.
I've heard in recent years with the pushback against vaccines and all that, that they have started coming back. But these are not good things, people. Getting the measles is not good for you.
No.
This is bad. It's a disease. It's a bad thing.
People can die from it.
Yes.
Seems like a bad thing.
And it can lead to complications later in life.
I mean, I had chicken pox twice, and it's part of the reason why they say that my immune system isn't the greatest.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's some other factors there, too, but, well, you know.
And now we found out that if you get chicken pox when you're young, there's a good chance shingles are in your future, which are extremely painful.
Yeah, yeah. So, not looking forward to it.
No.
It's not something. I don't know. And not at all trying to sound like a scientist here or a doctor or anything like that. I don't want to pretend that, you know, teach their own. Your life, you live your life. But I do think that when you're living your life and you are doing right by your children, it's not about just you. It's about their life and their choices,
When it comes to diseases like this, it isn't just about you because other people are involved in this.
Right. You're right.
Pass it on to someone. And then it's not just about you anymore. It's about your friends, your family, your community.
I'm such a protector and believer of personal choice and personal responsibility that sometimes when I'm talking about this subject, I say things like that and I don't think of the big picture where you're right. It isn't just about you. If we haven't learned anything in the last 3-4 years,
exactly,
then you might as well just go live in the woods and not be around exactly. anybody because you haven't learned anything about what it is to live as a member of society.
Exactly.
And there's some pushback on that, I understand.
Yeah.
Again, there's there's probably a cave in the woods somewhere you can go live in, and you don't have to be around people and have to deal with it.
There'd be a nice bear that you can, you know, team up with there.
I'm positive there is a bear out there that you'll make great
a lonely bear.
With. Yes. Hey, boo-boo.
Yeah.
We will take a quick commercial break. Come back. I don't know where that came from. We'll have some
friendly.
On the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.